I'm Steve Kraske, and this is KCUR's Up to Date. Across the United States, there are about 900 streets named for civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr., but not in Kansas City. It's the biggest city in the country without an MLK Memorial roadway. Today, we'll hear from community leaders in town who hope to change that. But first, a conversation with the newest mayor of Kansas City, Kansas. That's David Alvey. We'll ask him about charges of corruption among the city's firefighters and get his goals for combating food deserts. We'll also find out how he plans to make the mayor's office more accessible. Later, this week's State House Blend Kansas. We'll get you up to date after this hour's news. Any mayor of Kansas City, Kansas is going to have his hands full, and David Alvey is no exception. The new mayor of the unified government faces accusations of corruption within the fire department. There's the need to rid the community of food deserts and whether to proceed with a downtown healthy campus. Another ongoing issue, how to bring the prosperity in the western part of the county to the older neighborhoods in the east. Mayor David Alvey joins us now for his first appearance on this show since taking office. And Mayor, so nice to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Well, you've been the mayor for almost 3 months now, and I'm wondering if the challenges that face the county seem bigger or smaller since taking office.
Well, yeah, I would say that it's about what I expected. It's amazing to me. Just I think one of the most important things I've set out to do is don't open my mouth and say something stupid about topics that I don't know enough about. I'm just surprised at how many things I have to keep my mouth shut about. But that'll take care of itself in time.
There's a learning curve for any new person in office, and sometimes citizens don't realize that, right?
Absolutely. And I'm trying to be very accessible, trying to make sure anybody who would really like to have a conversation with me has that opportunity. I like people coming to the office. I also actually like going out to site to meet folks. Having meetings with the agents of the federal agencies themselves is quite a lot, and just trying to have all these things fit together is going to take some time.
But you've talked about accessibility several times, and I'm wondering, how are you sort of going about that systematically to engage more with citizens out there?
So I get invited to a lot of things. I like to say that the first public event I was asked to appear at was the reopening of the McDonald's at 38th and State. And my brothers were teasing me, and they were asking whether Mayor McCheese was going to be there, if I needed to worry about the Hamburglar. And so it was all in good fun, but I did attend and had a wonderful time, great people. And what occurred to me is just how appreciative people are when you come to their events.
Yeah.
And so I've kept that in mind and try to accommodate as many of these events as I can. And so last weekend, I was at the 2 weekends ago, I was the Turner Recreation Center had a breakfast with the Easter Bunny. And one of the
Mayor?
Well, it was great. It was awesome. And one of the mothers said that her 3-year-old son saw me pull up and pointed to the car and said, "It's the Easter Bunny."
A little of a letdown there, probably.
Right. I could see Santa Claus, but the Easter Bunny I didn't see. But I just try to get out and try to be at as many events. And when people want to ask me a question, whether it's at the grocery store or, you know, in the halls at City Hall, I've been going out to meet the different departments in the city itself and the county at different sites. And I really enjoy it.
You know, when you assume a position like mayor, which is an important job in the metro, does a certain weight fall on your shoulders?
Yes. It occurs to me all the time that I am never not the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And so if someone reaches out to me, I've got an email yesterday evening that I really needed to respond to. Normally I would not do that, but this is they have an important project. They need to talk about it, and you simply have to accommodate them.
You know, Chancellor Leo Morton of UMKC, the former chancellor, used to talk about that he was always on, ready to present whenever he was out in the public, and that's a certain responsibility that doesn't really go away.
No, it isn't. When I first was elected, the Harvard School of Government offers a free conference or transition for transitioning mayors and new mayors. And so one of the first comments from Tom Cochran, who's from the Council of Mayors, the National Conference of Mayors, says, you know, you've lost your first name. And, you know,
it's mayor now.
It's mayor now. Mm-hmm. And it is what it is. And I understand that. And I just have to realize that.
I'm wondering, Mayor, what did your election represent when it comes to the future direction of the unified government of Wyandotte County?
So, in my opinion, I think what I tapped into was really what I like to express during the campaign. It was my family's long-standing commitment to the community. I tell the story of my great-grandfather, John Gibbs, for whom Gibbs Road is named for, who came through the area in the 1850s, actually fought on the side of the Free State folks, was then went out to the gold fields, came back and purchased land in Wyandotte County and other parts of the state. And his commitment to the community, he established a school, an elementary school that educated both blacks and whites. And this is in 1869. Helped establish the Maple Hill Cemetery. Hmm. My grandfather, my dad's father, Leo Alvey, ran for the Shawnee Township in 1932 and won by one vote. And the folks I run into who remember Grandpa and then my Uncle Ed, who then became head of the Shawnee Township, they always spoke about how they worked hard to try and solve the problems of the residents. And that's something I take to heart. And then if I look to my mom's side, that settled on what is now called Strawberry Hill in 1857 and,
wow,
and established a business there, meat market, where the now KU Med, we're no longer called the former EPA building, by the way. It's now referred to as KU Med Downtown. That's
okay.
My preference.
Has KU Med taken over that building?
Yes,
now?
They have purchased the building, and
wow,
they are renovating it, and they will have 47 inpatient beds for behavioral mental health inpatients.
That's a huge change for your downtown, isn't it?
It's a tremendous
shot in the arm.
Yes, yeah. Uplift for us, because what it is doing is there was already interest in development of downtown. Having KU Med announce and commit there'll be 400 jobs at that site has now spurred even greater interest. We have more people reaching out to us about, let's say, a downtown grocery store. We have people a couple weeks ago, three different individuals approached me about trying to bring in some mixed use, perhaps some apartments with some retail in the bottom floor. So that kind of interest is only going to increase if we look at our downtown and go all the way down to Central Avenue.
Let's talk about the healthy campus for a moment, because obviously this was something that your predecessor, Mark Holland, had championed. You've decided to, and I'm quoting here, to hit the pause button on former Mayor Holland's proposal to place this healthy campus in downtown KCK. Mayor Holland's plan was to build a new grocery store combined with a YMCA complex. What's your concern about it?
Well, it wasn't that we would not locate these amenities downtown. It's not the question whether it be downtown. It was really about the site and the development costs associated with that particular site. And so the people in the community who came together really under Mayor Reardon originally, I believe, but then falling under Mark Holland's administration, began, first of all, we know we have the need for a downtown grocery store. You know, a food desert is defined by lack of a supermarket, which I think is kind of a restrictive definition. I don't think that's really accurate. I think you can solve maybe the food access problems without having to have a supermarket per se of a certain size. But be that as it may, I think we know we want a grocery downtown, and we also love the vision of the YMCA. Unfortunately, the problem with the Y, they closed it 4 years ago, and they now recently announced they would close it again. 4 years ago, when they closed it, it was because of declining membership. and the deterioration of the building. Unified government stepped in, helped subsidize that for a couple of years. They did enhance their membership, and so they have more subscriptions there. But the building itself is no longer safe, and David Byrd, the president of the Y, prudently said, "We can't do this to our clients." But we are committed to a downtown Y. And it's not just, I like the way David Byrd and they describe it, it's not just a swimming gym. It really has to be more about addressing the health outcomes that continue to report through the Wood Johnson Foundation. Casey, Wyandotte County is very low ranking.
Almost towards at the bottom of all the counties in Kansas once again. Yeah.
Yes, but the Y has a data-driven, evidence-driven approach and programming to solve problems of, to attack problems of obesity with associated diabetes and heart disease and stroke. And they are, in fact, the commissioners, we're going to try and get over to the new facility on Linwood over here in Missouri. But I love the vision and I love the passion that David Byrd brings to this.
But it's simply cost, you're saying, Mayor. It's too expensive to develop these twin projects, the grocery store and the YMCA?
I think what we happened is because it was, the site was set at that spot at 10th and State, the land acquisition cost and the land development cost, what was committed by the commission 4 years ago is not what the numbers turned out to be. Hmm. And so there was, on the part of the commissioners, a real, they backed off and they said, wait a minute.
Was there an escalation in price once the commission had committed to the property?
Well, that they had committed to, the county administrator had bought options on some of the properties and we were more fully pursuing that. But as we began to see the site acquisition cost, and then we would have to remove or buy the security bank building there, take that building down and build them a new site just right off, just along Minnesota, the cost just became prohibitive. We what it seemed to me is we needed to deconstruct the healthy campus, that we know we need a grocery store and we know that we would love to have the Y as it's being proposed by David Byrd and the YMCA to really address health outcomes. Those costs just got to the point at that site that it was not feasible.
So you're still committed. So are you committed to doing it, but maybe at a different location?
Yes.
And would you pair the two ventures together, the Y with the grocery store?
Yes, I think one of the things that has happened is when the YMCA made their pitch for, especially for new market tax credits, one of the advantages and one of the things that really kind of sold this to others was that they would have this, working together with a healthy grocer or a grocer downtown and provide programming, nutrition, and meal planning and mm-hmm. those kinds of things. So there's a real good reason why those two things are combined. And so they don't have to be right next door to each other, but they will need to work together. And that's how the Y continues to proceed.
Any sense of a timetable here when you'd like to be able to make an announcement about a new site for the healthy campus?
Well, and I'm not going to refer to it as a healthy campus.
Okay.
And the reason I'm moving away from that is because I think sometimes when you create a name for something, it becomes symbolic. And then you can't back away from it. You say, well, we voted against this, or we hit the pause button, so we're against the healthy campus. That's not true at all. We are for solving the problems, and we're simply deconstructing the issues so that we can move independently and yet at the same time in tandem to achieve the same outcome.
So at some other location, and an announcement might be, what, a few months away?
I will not make – one thing I have learned –
No predictions.
Because, and Mayor Holland, would often say this. He said, it just takes a – it's a hard thing to do to get people committed to a downtown grocer. And it's – there has to be a broad and deep political commitment to these projects because it is going to require some unified government commitment, and it's going to require, therefore, taxpayer monies.
And not to belabor the point, but do you have operators who are interested in coming down there?
Yes, we do.
That's not the issue. It's the cost.
It was the cost, but the commitment for a downtown grocer and to the amenity, what the Y can bring us is there.
Mayor David Alvey of the Unified Government of Wyandotte County is my guest. Our phone number here, 816-235-2888. If you have questions for the mayor, you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. You know, Mayor, we talked yesterday on this program about the tragedy at the Schlitterbahn complex, and Kyle Palmer talked about it again this morning in our newscast at the top of the show. Does that complex have a future in your community?
Well, I hope so.
Even after all this.
Yes, I hope so, because, you know, it's one of those things where certainly it's tragic. And I, as a parent, I'm just really it hurts me as a parent to imagine what the families have gone through. I would say this, that Schlitterbahn has been an important part of the development out west. It's an important attraction for visitors to our area. You know, before this tragedy, there had not been anything of this magnitude. You know, every amusement park, it's they're thrill rides, you know, and there's risk associated with it. I'm not going to comment really on what level of regulation the state should have had or did not have, or what kind of oversight should have been there from the state level.
Should Wyandotte County have had some oversight?
Well, I think no. I think that's an overstep of what we can do statutorily.
It's a state responsibility.
That's my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, we have a responsibility to do what we can. And so, for instance, the platform and then that was built to bring people up to the launching site was a unified government responsibility, and that was vetted. That was not the problem. I would say that Schlitterbahn, when it really runs well, you know, Schlitterbahn does amazing things around the world, and their designs are incorporated on cruise ships. They're incorporated in other countries. You know, Texas has its own Schlitterbahn parks. This, I won't comment on the lawsuits, but
you have criminal allegations involving second degree murder. Now.
Yes, that's very serious, and it would be inappropriate for me to comment about that. And that needs to be played out and let that come out to the public.
You hope Schlitterbahn sticks around, is what you're saying?
I hope that they will become better, as I always expect anybody who is a stakeholder in Kansas City, Kansas. Always gets better, always improves.
The water slide itself, would you like to see it taken down?
Yes, I would.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Schlitterbahn would.
Any sense of when that might happen based on what you know about what happened out there?
Well, I think that won't probably come down until after the trials.
Now, there was some different topic, Mayor. There was some controversy involving the fire department just as you were taking office. It involved former Mayor Holland, again, your predecessor, who said the department was corrupt. He said that point blank, and he based it on a government report that from your county that found that KCK firefighters have been paid, you know, almost $1 million in taxpayer money in 2017 for work they didn't do. This is in regards to a practice known as shift trading. The mayor called this a complete abuse of taxpayer dollars. That's a sentiment the Star's editorial board shares, and I'm a member of that board. How are you addressing this issue in the early months of taking office here?
Well, I'm addressing this issue by allowing the process that was agreed upon by the former mayor and by the commission and the county administration last year, that they were going to gather the data, track it to see what evidence or what data came out of this. And so that data was presented, and the process was to be that these would be addressed during contract negotiations, which will begin again with the firefighters union probably late summer, because it was a 3-year contract that was signed in December or November, but that was a delayed contract. And so it really covered the previous 3 years or this year, this calendar year as well. And so the process always was to gather the data and then have the county administrator report back to the governing body to say, well, this is what we think about this. This is all regulated by the contract and by past practices.
Are you troubled by what these findings have indicated?
Well, I want to say, first of all, that when it's reported as they are paid for shifts they did not work, that doesn't mean that work was not done. The work was done by somebody else.
Somebody
who was compensated themselves by the department and then pays that out. And how someone handles that within their own finances and their own tax, that's their responsibility. I wouldn't think the unified government would want to chase that down and regulate that.
But
I think that the primary responsibility of the unified government is to make sure that, first of all, quality fire service is being provided, that it's being provided in a way that is not an undue financial burden on residents, and that it will – I look at it this way. When this is all said and done through the contract negotiations, everybody – all those involved, the firefighters union, the fire department, the unified government commission, the county administrator, myself, we, all of us need to appear as if we have done well by the residents. And that will happen if we do well by the residents. And that's our commitment and that's our responsibility.
You know, according to a report from your government, 15 firefighters, Mayor, exceeded the limit of 24 traded shifts in a year. I don't know if that was part of the contract or not, but I'm wondering to what extent does this create a safety hazard for those firefighters who wind up working these unusually long shifts, sometimes day after day?
Yeah, I don't – honestly, I don't know that there has been any evidence that there has been any, quality issues in terms of service or exhaustion. That's not – that's really – I've not seen the evidence that that's been the case.
But when firefighters work shifts that might last even 24 hours, that's a long time for any human being.
Well, sure. But as we know, they live and they sleep and they have their meals and they really live as a community in the fire stations.
There was a related controversy with your department when a fire truck honking its horn and flashing its lights drove by the former mayor's house like at 6:30 one morning in late January. It woke up Mayor Holland's family as well as the neighbors there. Again, we raised questions about this on the editorial board. How was that situation addressed?
So the Administrator Bach directed Kevin Shirley, who's the interim fire chief, to investigate. And he walked the neighborhood and talked to the neighbors. And he also spoke with the firefighters who were on shift that day. And he reported back to us what he found. And
which was what?
He found that it was inadvertent, that the way that the lights and the siren are activated is a lever on the dash. And he had taken off, they had just come from a call in the neighborhood, took off his jacket, placed it on the dash, and grabbed the jacket to remove it, and it activated the lights.
You buy that?
Well, it's not for me to buy or not. It is for the fire chief to say, what can you demonstrate? And if you cannot, as I, you know, was dean of students at Rockhurst High School for 19 years, if you cannot prove that someone is actually responsible for it, you say, okay, but let it be known that if anything like this happens before, we're having a different kind of conversation.
Let me go to some phone calls here. Let me go to Frank from Lawrence. Frank, you're on with Mayor David Alvey from the Unified Government of Wyandotte County. Good morning.
Good morning, David. Mayor. I went to high school there in Washington High School there on Parallel. Actually, I lived on Parallel, 500 block. And I went by my house many years later after the Legends had opened up and all the information about all the money that was going to come into Wyandotte County. But the person who lived in my house was complaining because all that money from the Legends was not getting into the eastern part of the county. Let me take your answer off the air, and you can explain what's going on with that situation now.
Thanks. Frank, thank you. How do you shift the prosperity in the West to the needs of the East, Mayor?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. In fact, I think that's the fundamental question, because what I felt in the campaign was that there is this disconnect between the experience of people living in their neighborhoods and what is being experienced out West. I will say this, that because of the additional revenues coming in from the Star Bonds payout, for instance, there has been $1.7 million appropriated for what is called the SOAR program, which is Stabilize, Occupy, and Revitalize, which was put together by UG staff really under the impetus of Commissioners McKiernan and Commissioner Markley to really address the problem of blight in the inner city. And so we were sending a wrong message as unified government when the unified government has abandoned housing that really is owned by the unified government, but it'd be overgrown with weeds, or it would be not boarded up, or it would become then a place for squatters or drug deals. And so what we found in that process was there was not enough communication among the different departments. And so they have really integrated these departments, gathering great data and coming up with policies. And that $1.7 million is now being used to cut the grass on these lots, to board up these, to try and get these things, if they're salvageable, get these properties back on, or to tear them down if they're not. And so that's directly coming from the West. I will also say there has been a 2 mil decrease 2 years ago and a 2 mil decrease on the city taxes last year. That's all because of the increase in STAR bond revenues. And so you may not, you will see it and feel it at your in your escrow account for your mortgage or for your annual tax bill. It is making a difference. I think one of the things we have to do is draw that connection between those funds and what how we experience things.
It's still a long road back for the eastern side of your county.
Yes, and but yet there are really exciting opportunities and really exciting ways to approach this.
I got 20 seconds left.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Anyway, I hope to address this much more in depth at the State of the City address, which is on June 6th.
All right. Mayor David Alvey, thanks for coming in. Thanks for the update on your county. Good luck with all your work.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You bet. Time for a break. When we come back, we'll talk about that proposal to rename the Paseo after Martin Luther King Jr. I'm Steve Kraske, and you're listening to Up to Date on 89.3 KCUR. And we're back. I'm Steve Kraske. Tomorrow on the show, how technology and social networks have redefined power and opened the door for movements like Black Lives Matter. That's tomorrow on KCUR's Up to Date. On yesterday's show, we learned about a new play by Kansas filmmaker Kevin Wilmot. It explored Martin Luther King Jr.'s time at Morehouse College. You can listen to that and all of our previous episodes. Just go to kcur.org/up-to-date. Well, as the nation prepares to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the assassination of the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., here's a cold, hard fact for you. Kansas City ranks as perhaps the largest city in the country to not have a prominent thoroughfare named after Dr. King. That may be about to change. Black religious and political leaders in Kansas City are turning to the ballot box in an effort to rename the Paseo in honor of the civil rights leader. They hope to get the issue on the August ballot. The Kansas City Parks and Rec Department is opposing the change. The reason? Renaming the Paseo after Dr. King, they say, doesn't fit the agency's current naming policy. With us to talk about this petition effort are three leaders of this movement. They are the Reverend Dr. Vernon Howard. He's senior pastor at St. Mark Union Church and the president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference of Greater Kansas City. Reverend, welcome back.
Thank you, Steve.
Here.
Appreciate it.
Ken Bacchus is a former Kansas City councilman and the president of Kansas City Urban Summit. Ken, welcome to you.
Good. Thanks, Steve.
The Reverend Sam Mann is also here. He's pastor emeritus at St. Mark Union Church. Sam, Reverend, nice to have you.
Good to see you, Steve.
We tried to get the chair of the Parks and Rec Department to join us or at least call in, and that request apparently was rejected. One other note, the Star's editorial board supports this change in an editorial scheduled to appear in tomorrow's newspaper. I'm a member of that board. Reverend Howard, some of our listeners right now surely are wondering why there's no street named after Martin Luther King in Kansas City when dozens of other cities have taken this step, not only taken it, they took it a long time ago. What's holding us back?
Steve, I think that if the Parks Board identifies policy as a rationale for continuing to reject this movement, then they are off base and misguided. We believe at SCLC that principle ought to guide policy, that policy does not guide principle. Hmm. And the principle is that Dr. King is one of the most iconic and impactful voices for peace in the globe, the country, mm-hmm. and certainly in our community. And so principle ought to trump policy. And if there is a need to change policy or adjust policy to fit with the movement for peace and the desire to have Dr. King be a mobilizing force for racial unity, racial justice, and peace in our community, we believe we need to do that. If they don't, that's fine. We will take it to the people and let the people decide.
Ken Bacchus, you guys have been working with the Parks and Rec Board now for any number of months. Any progress? Was there any point you thought there might be a breakthrough in negotiations, or did it just not work?
Well, actually, the ministers along the Paseo Boulevard for the last year and a half, actually a little over a year and a half.
There's 13 right. black churches along the Paseo.
Exactly. Yeah. And they have been working. I were not part of that. I came into this probably in January of this year because we basically allowed them to organically work on this, and they did. And they took it as far as they could. And as Dr. Howard mentioned, and as Reverend Mann know, they received a letter directly said, we want to appoint a commission. So I come at this.
They want to appoint a commission to look at this issue directly. Yeah,
which is a, you know, we see it as a stall tactic. It's not a positive track forward.
In fact, Congressman Cleaver, long before he was a congressman, Ken, as you know, he proposed this idea or worked on this idea back in 1979.
Yes, and we had some discussions back in the 90s when he and I served on the – he was mayor and I was on the council together. And it we didn't quite get there. And Councilman Reed, as you know, proposed Prospect Avenue, and many of us pushed back on that. And
what was the issue with Prospect being renamed for Martin Luther King?
Prospect looked like many of the other MLK drives and streets that are across the country, like St. Louis, for example.
A little run down.
It's a little run down. It's been very nice. It's just in a worse part of the city. We think the Paseo embody the spirit and peacefulness of Dr. King and what he stood for. And we think that's the appropriate place because every 10 blocks or so, the Paseo creates a different culture. There's a different groups of people. I mean, there's everything there. As you know, Center City, which is in Bishop Tobin's church area, are the people who couldn't afford Crossroads anymore. They are gay community, the arts people. They've taken over part of the community. So every 10 blocks or so, you have a different group of people. Racially mixed, it is everything I think that he would have wanted to be.
So the Reverend Sam Mann, the route left to those of you who want to rename the Paseo for Dr. King, what, is to launch this petition drive. That's what's going to happen on Friday, I think, right?
Well, it could. We have three alternatives. One is the park. We went through the process. The Parks board could have done it on its own.
It didn't happen.
It didn't happen. We still have a card in the deck that the city council could override the Parks Board decision.
Is there an effort underway to see if that would happen?
There's an effort to influence that and to get that done. I understand some of the city council members have already come out publicly saying that it is a possibility. And, of course, the third thing would be the petition initiative. And the Urban Summit and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference are batting 1,000 with petition initiatives, and the $15 an hour initiative and the
1/8 cent sales tax on the east side. Yeah.
So we have another step to go, and if the city council decides to act, we won't have to do initiative petition.
But Sam, if the initiative process is launched, I'm told it's going to happen on Friday.
Oh, yes.
Week.
Oh, yes.
Is there an event scheduled for that or planned?
Well, Dr. Howard and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference have, along with the Urban Summit, have a parade, I understand, starting on Friday.
What are you planning, Reverend Howard?
That is absolutely right. We're inviting the entire community to come out, and this is a metro-wide invitation to a march and rally for peace this coming Friday. We're assembling at 5:00. We'll be marching at 5:30 p.m. There are three aims, Steve. Number one, advocate for the change of Paseo Boulevard to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Number two, advocate for policy shifts and changes that need to be made, in our estimation, to bring about a greater peace in Kansas City metro-wide and in the urban core. And number three, raise the consciousness level of the Kansas City community to the need for peace. We believe entrepreneurship, business development, the improvement of schools, both public, charter, and private, and the health and maintenance of continued growth of Kansas City depends on peace. There cannot be a continued prosperity when you leave behind a whole segment of individuals, either by race or geography. It just won't work long term. It's not sustainable.
Reverend Howard, you know, maybe one question left unaddressed here. How disappointed are you that the Parks and Rec Board is saying, after a long conversation here, is saying no?
Politically, I'm baffled that a leading businessman and entrepreneur such as Mr. Ali Gates has advocated for this, isn't in favor of it. That the highest ranking and, in my opinion, most effective elected official that represents the African-American community is in favor of it. And that the grassroots, and to use Ken's word, organic kind of community has risen up. Remember, the desire for this was articulated at an SCLC community forum that took place about 2 years ago, when the community said to us again, this needs to happen. SCLC, would you move forward and identify avenues through which it could happen? We thought it
best. Maybe a thoroughfare after Dr.
Absolutely.
King.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We thought it best that the clergy and neighborhoods and residents of that community would be the best fit to initiate it. When they were not listened to, now we have to step up with Urban Summit and other civil rights and groups to kind of leverage the kind of influence and power that we believe can make it happen.
And Steve, we've been purposefully listening and listening to our communities. We have a lot of meetings. We go to a lot of neighborhood meetings. We have people coming out most Fridays, and we have breakfasts. We're actually just simply listening to what they want, mm-hmm. and we're advocating for it. That's why, you know. But you know, going back, I'm so proud of Kansas City. Kansas City stood up last year in ways that I didn't think it would. And it's
the 1/8 cent sales tax.
The 1/8 cent sales tax.
Sweeping approval, by the way.
Yeah, and the approval of the living wage. You know, I'm proud of our city. And so what bothers me is that the new chairman of the Parks Board would allow his name to be on such a letter concerning this matter. Mm-hmm. That fly in the face of where we've been.
I understood, too, that the Baptist Ministers Union, one of the most influential religious organizations in this town, is one of the organizations that approached SCLC and says, this is y'all's responsibility. I mean, this is not just some fly-by-night organizations getting ready to do this. This is, in fact, a web of religious leaders.
Steve, can I speak to that?
Yeah, let me just remind our listeners quickly. Sure. You're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. We're talking about this proposal just launched to rename the Paseo after Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Obviously, tomorrow we commemorate the 50th anniversary of his passing. Dr. Howard, you have the floor.
This goes beyond race. It is organically tied to issues of racial justice, racial identity, and the contributions of a black man to the broader society. But it goes beyond that. We're talking about groups such as the Greater Kansas City Justice Coalition. We're talking about groups such as More Squared. We're talking about groups such as the Baptist Ministers Union that was mentioned, and a host of groups. We're talking about the Consortium from Peace out of mm-hmm. Johnson County mm-hmm. Community College. We're talking about this cross-section, just as the coalition reflected in the victories in 2017 that is coming together. It is cross-faith, or shall I say interfaith, cross-race, cross metro. We've got groups and people that live outside of the boundaries of Kansas City, and who live in Kansas City, but not necessarily in Kansas City proper,
right,
who say this is a good thing and a right thing, and we're on board, and they will be with us Friday at 5:30.
If our listeners want to chime in with their 2 cents on this proposal, 816-235-2888 is our phone number, or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. Ken Bacchus, why the Paseo? Why not Ward Parkway?
Well, I think the Paseo is one of those streets where when George Kessler started our park system way back when.
The Paseo was one of the original boulevards. Yeah,
because he knew what was going on in Mexico City. It is designed to be similar, to be another Paseo de la Reforma out of Mexico City. It's an awesome street. Landscape architecture is just impeccable. It mirrors the same architecture in Europe and Spain and France, and we know those streets. And so he was simply trying to bring that to Kansas City. And for the first 10, 12 blocks or so, you can see it from 2nd Street, which is actually Lexington Avenue, where Cliffs Drive changed, all the way down to about 18th Street. It's marvelous. Mm-hmm. But after then, it loses the flavor and pick up here and there. It has never been the street, I think, that he originally wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe with $800 million we approved in infrastructure work in the bonds last year, the 8-cent sales tax, other issues, we think we can help garner that level of support for it to be that street it should be. See, the Paseo is just the name of a street that he wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be the Paseo. It's just what we know.
Right.
And we also, excuse me, Steve, it bespeaks the quality and the integrity and the greatness of Dr. King. This is a boulevard. This is not a street. This street gets maintained by the Parks and Recreation Board.
Lots of phone calls here. Let's go to some calls right now. Janet from Kansas City North. Janet, you're on Up to Date.
Hi. Yeah, perhaps in an effort to do some bridging, as has been commented elsewhere, like in the paper, going east to west instead, how about possibly nominating 63rd Street and 63rd Street Traffic Way? It's one of the very few that goes pretty much the whole length from the east of Troost to west of Troost.
So Janet's proposing an east-west idea here. Who wants to take
that? Well, actually, I'm an urban planner, among other things, but I really wanted Volcker from Main Street to about Elmwood, because it would be the south side of Brush Creek.
Mm-hmm.
But Volcker is a very hallowed name in this community, and mm-hmm. people don't want to do that. That's one of the first reactions I received. That would have been perfect to me, because it'd go by Martin Luther King Park. But when the ministers organically over the last 18 months worked on this, I don't have any problem with the Paseo. And actually, when you look at Paseo, it really does encompass that whole east-west in a different way.
Okay. Janet, I hope that helps.
Well, yeah, it was just a thought, go east-west instead. 63rd was the only one I could come up with that, didn't have somebody else's name like Gregory, et cetera.
Yeah.
One of the things I like about this is it's generating some discussion.
Yes. We're getting that right here, Reverend. Yeah. Christopher from Kansas City, Missouri, you're on Up to Date.
Hi, I'm an absolute fan of Martin Luther King, and if there's ever a street in this city that needed his love and attention, it's Troost, the dividing line. Troost has nothing but negative connotations to it. I live between Troost and Paseo, and Paseo's history is something we really embrace in the area, but ML, he needs to be on Troost. That street needs to go. It has nothing but bad vibes with it all day long. Thank you very much for the show.
Christopher, thank you. Here. Troost, Ken Bacchus, Reverend Howard?
Well, Troost Avenue is not the old Troost anymore. It is changing all for the better. I love what we see. But Troost and 63rd Street are commercial corridors. A boulevard is a residential corridor, usually not supposed to, large trucks not really supposed to drive on those. And they create a different ambiance mm-hmm. and a placemaking. That's what I'm talking about. It has the opportunity to create medians where they are now and further help Kansas City to be that urban residential style that people who are coming from the suburbs today, they're already relocating to some of those places.
A community.
A community.
Yeah.
Plus,
okay.
It's a boulevard.
Yeah.
Troost is not a boulevard.
Jack from Shawnee has a question about where to go for the rally Friday night. Jack, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I just want to know where to show up. Where's the rally and where's the march? Can you give information on that?
Thanks. Absolutely, Jack. Dr. Howard here. You can show up at 5 o'clock p.m. for assembly at, guess where, 3400 Paseo. We are beginning the march and the rally on 3400 Paseo because, obviously, symbolically, that's the street we're seeking to change. And we will march beginning at 5:30, Jack, on Paseo Boulevard going north to 27th Street, and then we'll march east going to Prospect, where we will hold the rally at 27th and Prospect, and U.S. Congressman Emanuel Cleaver will be the keynote, and we'll have various youth speakers there. So please, Jack, come on out and join us on that day. We would love to have you. Bring your friends and family.
And we'll put that on our website at kcur.org. What about the notion, you know, some critics might say, you know, this is just pure symbolism when the East Side needs so much. It needs higher rates of home ownership. It needs more jobs. It needs more income. What about that?
It's all of that, and I don't disagree with that, which is part of the reason why the name is important. The Paseo is the western boundary of the 8 cent sales tax boundary. Then Prospect Avenue is sort of right in the center, and then you go all the way to Indiana Avenue to the east, and from 9th Street to Gregory Boulevard. When you think about the geography there, and I've lived in that area for 34 years, and believe me, there's no one panacea here. It is a combination of many efforts to make this work, and this is just simply one of those.
Okay. Back to some calls here. Uno from Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
I'm thinking how about considering a name that honors all civil rights leaders from the time the inception of America, something like Human Rights Boulevard. That would certainly not leave anyone out.
Okay. Uno, I appreciate that. Sam, any thoughts?
No.
Okay. All right. Chris from Midtown. Chris, you're on Up to Date.
Yeah, this is Chris. I was just calling to ask our Park and Recreations Board, why is it so difficult to name a boulevard or a street after Martin Luther King? He's a great leader of the African-American community. Also, he's a great leader of the whole nation to bring us and unite us together. I grew up at 13th and Euclid, and I know Paseo Boulevard is traveled by a lot of Kansas Cityans, and I think it's a great idea, and I want to know and ask the board and Parks Commission why is it so difficult to come up with a solution to name Paseo after Dr. Martin Luther King.
Chris, that's a great question. Just for the record, again, we try to get the head of the Parks and Rec Department on our show today, the board, and we couldn't do that. Gentlemen, we're out of time, but I want to thank you all for coming in today. Reverend Dr. Vernon Howard, Ken Bacchus, the Reverend Sam Mann. That rally, again, you gather at 5 o'clock on Friday evening at 3400 Paseo. Do I have that right, Dr. Howard?
That is correct. Okay. Yes, sir. And then we'll march north to 27th Street and then east to Prospect, where the rally will take place. Okay. All are invited.
Okay. Thank you all for coming in today. Sure.
Thank appreciate you, Steve.
You Thanks, bet. Steve.
Tomorrow on the show, join Up to Date at the UMKC Miller Nichols Library for a conversation about Kansas City's response to the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. 50 years ago. Find out more on KCUR's Facebook page. I'm Steve Kraske, and you are Up to Date.